And it's Vacation Bible School Week, and it's about being a special agent. If you're not aware of that, check it out. These glasses, I can look, and I can see you. Miss Holly, how are you? Good. Let me see. Let me see who all I can see. Oh, I see my wife. Ellis, let go of your hands, buddy. There you go. All right, let me see if I can see. I don't know if they work with my left eye. Yeah, Cameron, man, across your legs. That's not healthy for your back. These glasses are the coolest thing. I mean, they're phenomenal, and I don't know if I can preach with them on because it's kind of distracting. I'm scared someone may sneak up from the back, and I wouldn't want that to happen. So I'm going to take these off this morning, but it's pretty neat that you see everything up here. Miss Susan came. She gave her testimony about the importance of Vacation Bible School, and then Miss Sarah and a group had been working. You don't even know the hours that they've invested working on this week. They've really spent a lot of time, done a phenomenal job, and Vacation Bible School, those children are going to be very excited when they come in and they get to get started with everything that they're going to be taught. But it's really about discovery. It's about going in with the idea that they get to be a special agent and they get to learn things through the Bible. They get to search the Scripture and they get to discover, and then they get to have some seed planted. And then they get to defend after they've trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They get to defend Him. And that's the exact word that I want to share with you this morning. When we look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. If you have your Bibles, I want to ask that you would join me this morning. It's a phenomenal scripture. And the message that I want to share with you this morning is about a badge of honor. About a badge of honor. You know, as believers, what we do, I think, a lot of times is we're called to salvation. There's a moment in our life where we trust Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. And I want to tell you, from there, it kind of varies based on how much we grow in our relationship with King Jesus. But most of the time, I just want to confess what we do. A lot of times after we've become a believer, we kind of want to shy away from any obstacle or any interference or any person that we might come in contact with and have the opportunity to share Jesus with. For most of us, we live a lifetime and never defend our faith once. And so what I want you to discover this morning through the Word of God is that there comes a point in your life as a believer, once you realize who He is, once you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, that as a true follower of Christ Jesus, that you get to defend your faith. You get to defend the decision that you made however long ago to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You get to give testimony. Susan gave testimony. She defended as a 7-year-old girl when she trusted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And how many times has she stood before you and given testimony of the relationship that she now has because of the importance of Vacation Bible School? And so our job this week as teachers is to have fun with the children. But much, much more importantly than that is to take them on a journey through the Word of God and encourage them as we plant seed that and water it, that it would begin to grow and blossom so that they would come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that has to be what Vacation Bible School is all about. Amen? It has to be about those seed being planted in order that they might come to a point in their life where they've trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so there are really three truths that I want to share with you. As we talk about this faith journey, there are three truths that I want to share with you. And it's really about you being in a position as a believer to wear your salvation as a badge of honor. So if you would, I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of His Word. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. The Scripture says this, "But sanctify or set apart the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Would you bow with me? Father in heaven, today, in the mighty, magnificent, most holy name of Jesus, we come before your throne of grace with excitement, with joy in our hearts, because today we get to defend our decision to trust you as our Lord and Savior. And Father, I pray, I ask right now that you begin to stir our hearts, those who have gathered, those who've trusted you, Lord, maybe from way back and have never had an opportunity to defend their relationship with you, and those who are here who defend you every single day. But Father, even more importantly than any of those are those who are here and they've never had an opportunity to know you as Lord and Savior. Father, today that seed would be planted. Father, that they would be able to discover the truth about Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection. They would confess their sin. They would invite you to be their Lord and Savior. Father, then that moment where they stand before an individual or a group of people and they have to defend their faith. They can't be ashamed. We always need to be ready to defend our choice to trust you as our Lord and Savior. And so, Father, I just pray that this word will go forth today and not return void. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So it's important that you understand as a believer that God has a specific call in your life. That specific call as a believer is that you would be in a position, you're growing, there's systematic steps. So you confess your sin, you invite Jesus to be Lord of your life, He comes into your heart, there's a cleaning process that takes place, God does it all, if you allow Him to, you're discipled, you learn God's Word, and then you stand before the world and you proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior. Paul said it best. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for all who believe. And I think that's where we need to be as believers. It needs to come to that point in our lives where we're able to defend our faith regardless of the obstacles that might stand before us. And so these three truths that I want to share with you this morning, I think I tried to take this scripture and come up with the outline that went along with Vacation Bible School. I want to tell you something, Miss Sarah, God did that. Exactly. So here's the first thing. Listen, number one point is this. If you have your bulletins, you turn on over on the back. Follow along. If you have a pen, pencil, fill in the blanks. But number one is this. God is known by creation. God is known by creation. This is the discovery part. Discover. This is what God desires for you, to discover that He is known, that He's a God who wants to reveal Himself to you. And there's this opportunity as people who are engaged in this world to discover the truth about who Jesus is. When I was a child, mystery fascinated me. I think probably a lot of you, when I share, you're going to understand exactly what I'm talking about. I used to hear stories, watch TV about Bigfoot. How many of you have ever heard of Bigfoot? Sasquatch, any of those guys? You remember those stories? Didn't it fascinate you? Let me ask you, and I want you to tell me the truth, the God's honest truth. You be candid with me. How many of you have really ever wondered if Bigfoot exists? Be honest. Come on. The rest of you are telling a story. You've wondered if Bigfoot exists. I used to wonder, does Bigfoot really exist? How can a creature like that exist? And there really be no evidence. There have been many pictures that have been taken. And then the Loch Ness Monster. Now this one really fascinates me. The Loch Ness Monster is one that is this creature that is in the lock. It's a body of water. It's literally one of the deepest body of waters in the world. And the deeper you go, the muddier and the murkier it gets. And even in 1970, let me share this. 1970, there were a team who came in with sonar, and even since 1970, that was the first time they did it with sonar. And they did over 600 sweeps with sonar. And they tried to get a lay of the land underneath this body of water. They tried to find evidence that the Loch Ness Monster existed. There have been hundreds of pictures since 1930 that have been taken. Eyewitness accounts that have said, I've seen the Loch Ness Monster. You can't tell me that the Loch Ness Monster doesn't exist. then they began to take these photographs that had been taken, even of Bigfoot and of the Loch Ness Monster. They began to scrutinize them. They began to put them under microscope and really, really look and evaluate and to try and come up with real evidence that this picture was relevant to the existence of Bigfoot or to the Loch Ness Monster. And without question, almost every single one of these pictures has found to be fraud or was found to be fraud. The only thing, you understand, the only thing that's going to decide whether Bigfoot exists or whether the Loch Ness Monster exists is if they reveal themselves. Think about it. If they don't reveal themselves, then you and I are never going to know. We're just going to always wonder. And the only thing that's ever going to express the reality that God exists is God Himself. God has to be the one to reveal that. And I want to tell you that He's done it in a fantastic way. God has revealed His existence to the world that you and I live in. And I praise my God for that. Let me share with you, if you go back into the Word of God, you look at the Scripture, there's evidence from the very beginning that God has revealed Himself. Genesis chapter 1, He spoke. And He said, "Let there be light." What happened after that, friends? There was light. God spoke it and it happened. And I want to tell you something. If you speak a creation into existence, if you speak something out of nothing, it knows you're there. Can I get an amen? You can't speak something into existence and it not know you're there. It can't have fallen on deaf ears, so to speak, even if it were light. And then the Word of God tells us, listen, this is good stuff right here. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him, from King Jesus, and we declare it to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Did you get that? If God is light and He speaks light into existence, you know creation understands who He is. Let's take it to the next step, because this is good. This is what the Scripture says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 6. It says, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters." And we're talking about water. God has spoken creation into existence, and now He's making it complete. There's some of the details of that. And He says, "And let it," the waters He's talking about, "and let it divide the waters from the waters." There's a great story in the Scripture in the New Testament that talks about Jesus and Him being the water that you drink, you receive unto yourself, and it springs up, it literally wells up to become eternal life. The only way that can happen is if you drink in the water of salvation that King Jesus offers. And here's what the Scripture tells us in John chapter 4, verse 14. By the way, let me share this real quick. I'm calling these Scripture verses out, and I've talked with Stacy and with Lane. We can't, for some reason, our machine won't allow us, or the technology that we have won't allow us to put the Scripture verse up there, the source where it says John 4:14. We've tried, we can't get that done. We're going to try and work some things out and see. So when I tell you John 4:14, you write it down as quickly as you can if you want to be able to go back and reference that. But here's the Scripture. The Scripture's up there, and it says this: "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst." Isn't that good? "Never thirst, but the water that I shall give will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." I'm going to tell you something. That's good. I don't care who you are. To be able to receive Jesus, to be able to take that in and to drink Him up, it literally means that He becomes a part of who you are. And when something becomes a part of you, it can't be separated. It can't be removed when He becomes a part of you, when you drink Him in. It's that word, pistuo, to receive. It's like drinking Him up. I think that's a wonderful picture of what God desires for us. And so I'm telling you today, God is known by His creation. God wants you to know that. He wants you to discover this. He's known by His creation. Let me ask you a question. You think about this. What if a foreigner comes to the United States, never been here before, and they've heard stories of this grand scale sculpture that is on the side of Mount Rushmore. They've heard of it and they've wanted to go see it for themselves. Do you believe that they're going to walk into the presence, into the view of this sculpture with these presidents' heads carved into the side of the mountain? And do you think they're going to say, nature did a wonderful job? That's amazing. It's amazing that erosion has caused this rock to be cut in such a precise way that it looks exactly like four presidents of the United States. What are the odds that that would ever happen? None. So what are the odds that people are going to really look into the world that you and I live in and say that it just happened? I want to be honest with you. Those who say that it just happened because of the Big Bang don't understand the God that I serve through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what you and I have to understand. We got to be able to paint that picture as people are discovering this truth about God. Discover God is known by His creation. And can I just share with you this? Listen to me. There's no excuse. People look and they see the trees, they see the grass, they see the flowers, they see you, they see me. Friends, I'm going to tell you, you can't believe there's not a God. Amen? In the scripture in Romans chapter 1 verse 20, it says this, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. Since the creation of the world, that means forever. If there's ever been an individual who has stood foot on the earth, on the soil, with grass growing under their feet, the evidence is there plainly for them to see that God did that. And I love it. It says that for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. Listen to this. Being understood by the things that are made. Let me say that again. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Isn't that good? So the world at large that says there is no God, just say, you're without excuse, bud. You can't look at a tree and tell me that it just happened. You can't look at a bird fly through the air and believe that it just sprouted wings all by itself. You can't look at a giraffe's long neck and think that God didn't create it that way. You can't look at an individual and see the hair on his head and think, according to the Word of God, that He knows every one of the number of hairs on your head. God is the only one that can do that, and He is known by His creation. And we got to discover that. Number two is this. This is it. We'll move forward this morning. God desires to be known by you. Let's break this down. This is individually. This is what God desires from you. This is what God desires from the lost world. What God desires from the people who are outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, that they come to know Him personally. This is about them deciding that they want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, that they want to divulge their sin, that they want to share that and say, Lord, forgive me. I know I've messed up. And I want to confess my sin, and I want to invite you in to be my Lord and Savior. It's moving from the discovery. Now we know there's a God. There's no excuse. There's not according to the scripture, there's no one who in existence that really doesn't somewhere, somehow, some way believe that there's a God that exists, because they are without excuse. And so next is, God desires to be known by you individually. How important is it, do you think, to know God? How important? Let me share this. Your eternity depends on it. That's how important it is. Literally, your eternity depends on it. Life is but a vapor. We're here today and gone tomorrow. And life is but a vapor. And God desires to be known by you. When I was a child, I loved to play hide and seek. How many hide and seek players are there in here from way back when? A lot of you played hide and seek. Some of you, maybe that game wasn't around when you were a child. I don't know, but I loved hide and seek when I was a child. It was one of the funnest things ever. The group of kids in the community would get together, and we had boundaries, and we would hide within those boundaries, and there were always real large boundaries. I'm going to tell you, in the neighborhood, I had some hiding places that no one ever found me. Never. Until I decided that I wanted to come out of hiding. And by then, someone else had already been found, and I was still hiding in my place. No one knows. You mean to tell you where it is? I can't tell you, because then it won't be a secret anymore, and I can't hide there again. And so, I'm going to tell you this story. It was a boss of a company, and he needed some information from one of his employees. Great story. So he calls home. It was a weekend. He calls home. The child answers, and the child answers with this tone. Hello. Boss didn't really know what to think of that, so he said, is your dad home? Little boy whispers back, yeah. So he's thinking, well, can I talk to your dad? The little boy says, no, he's busy. Well, the boss said, is your mom at home? And the little boy whispers back, yes. Boss began to get irritated. He said, well, can I talk to your mom? No. Why can I talk to your mom? Because she's busy. It's amazing. Well, is there anyone else at home? Is there anybody else there? Yes. Who is it? A policeman. Boss begins to worry a little bit. He's thinking, your mom's there, your dad's there, policeman. Can I talk to the policeman? He's beginning to worry a little bit. Kind of frustration moves into, and he says, can I talk to the policeman? So the little boy says, no, he's busy too. Well, what is he doing? He says, him and the firemen are looking for me. Couldn't find him anywhere. And he didn't want to reveal his hiding place. They're looking for me. I say that to tell you this. God's not hiding. And if he is hiding, let me share this, that he's hiding in plain sight. The evidence of where God is hiding is all over the place. There's no excuse for anyone to ever doubt the existence of God. He's real, and he spoke the world into existence, and his greatest desire is to be known by you. That's what he desires. The scripture tells us that in John chapter 17, verse 3. John chapter 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That the world may know you, the only true God. What does that mean? That any other gods are false gods. They're dead. They do not exist. They're fabricated. They're made up. But there is one God who spoke the world into existence, and God wants you to know him through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's real. God wants you to know that. And so he says this, is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So we see that. You discover, you understand, and then you decide. And then the next thing is this. Number three is, God is worthy of your honor. This is defending, that God is worthy of your honor. Can I say amen? God is worthy of my honor, but also God is worthy of your honor. If you've trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, he is worthy of your honor. That you should be willing to stand before a crowd of people and shout from the rooftops that Jesus is King and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is worthy to be honored and praised. And it's up to you if you do it or not, but we're so good at coming and sitting and being quiet. I don't want my neighbor to really believe that I'm excited about what God has done in my life. And so we just sit, and that confuses God, I believe. Well, you said you're saved and you're excited about that salvation. I'm going to tell you, I'm so excited about my God that I don't care who knows, amen? And I want the world to know. You know, it's kind of like my relationship with my wife. What if I didn't tell anybody I was married, but I kept it hid? And we go out into public, and I make sure that she's way away from me because I don't want anyone to know. How long do you think that relationship would work? Right. Do you think you're going to wear this badge of honor as a believer and go out into the world, into the community at large, and be ashamed of the relationship that you have with Jesus? I say no. And if you are ashamed, I say you question your own salvation. I say that's what has to happen. Because I'm going to tell you, you can't be in a real relationship with King Jesus and be ashamed of him. You just can't. And so God is worthy of your honor. Throughout the Bible, it talks about honoring God. You honor Him with your words. You honor Him with your action. And in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says this. It says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being." Listen to this. Three things quickly. Three reasons that you should desire to honor God. That you wear Him as a badge of honor. Three reasons. Number one, listen to this. Because He is Creator. It's just point blank. It's easy, isn't it? He's Creator. And you honor Him if for no other reason. You honor Him because He's Creator. Because He spoke it and it listened. Because He spoke it and it was created. It was formed. And you know it didn't happen by itself because He spoke it. Let there be light. There was light. And let there be man formed from the dust of the ground. And guess what? Was formed from the dust of the ground. And then do you know what? As He formed man from the dust of the ground, He breathed into him. Pneuma is the Greek word for spirit. And he was filled with the breath of God. And he came to life and he became a living being. And then he saw him that he was alone, that everything else had a partner, and he caused the deep sleep to fall on him. And Adam falls out, I think probably as though a dead man. He's like, phew. If you can imagine that, he calls this deep sleep. I don't know if he was laying down already or what. But I'm going to say he was standing up because the scripture says that God caused a deep sleep to fall upon him. And then he does surgery right here. Whoosh. Brad, can I do surgery this morning? Come here, buddy. I got a sharp knife, man. You won't even feel it. That's kind of how it happened with Adam. He's asleep, and I don't know if he snored. I don't know, but I would say he might have snored, and he was asleep, and you know, I mean, it was one of those kind of he's asleep like that, and then God just did that surgery, and He removed that rib, and then ladies, listen, took that rib in the hands of God, and He formed the most beautiful creature ever. He formed you as our helpmate. And I don't mean that jesting in any way. That's what God did. He formed you. And he didn't do that out of the dust of the ground. See, we get that one. So we're just messed up, dirty folks. And then you ladies, there's something special about you. And God created you. He formed you and from a rib. And that's special. And you need to know that. That God created you that way. And so God, you worship Him, you honor Him, first of all, because He's Creator God. Number two, listen to this. This is important. I need you to get this. Why else would I honor God? Why else would I wear Him as a badge of honor? Because the Scripture says God is love. That's enough. God is love. Scripture tells us that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. God is love. Why? Why should I honor Him? Why should I wear Him as a badge of honor? Why should I not be ashamed? Because God loves me. In all of my mishaps and all of my mess-ups and all of my misfortune and all of my sin-ridden life, God loves me. He loves me. But I'm going to tell you, it's not enough that you understand that He loves me because He loves you too. God wants you to know that He loves you. He needs you to see that. The reality, He doesn't just love nice people. You got that? He loves all people. And His greatest desire is that all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus as Lord. And one more thing, the third thing in closing, how is it that I know that I believe that God loves me? Listen, because He sent His Son. You know that God loves you. You know that God is worthy of honor. How do I know that? Because He sent His Son. Did I say that God sent His Son? What do you mean He sent His Son? Well, listen, if you've never heard this story, God looked at the world and He saw it was in total chaos. That nobody was living for the Lord, that there was no opportunity for salvation because nobody could be obedient to the law. And so God, in retrospect, He already knew everything that was going to take place. And at the proper time, God sent forth His Son, born of a virgin, to come into this world and live the perfect, sinless life. That whoever would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. And I believe that, and the Scripture tells us that. John chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His Son one and only into the world that we might live through Him. I want to live through King Jesus. That's 1 John, by the way, guys. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. But I think the reality of this is that God sent His Son so that I might live through Him means that if I'm going to live through Him, if I'm going to have real life, meaningful life, that I can't be ashamed of who God is. That I have to be an individual who proudly wears my relationship with King Jesus, just like my relationship with my wife. This is my badge of honor right here with my wife. I want people to know I'm not ashamed. Listen, I married up. Amen? Amen. I know some of you really wanted to shout that, but you didn't. But I married up. I did good, didn't I, Tracy? Didn't I, baby? She said, yeah, you did. Well, when you enter that relationship with Jesus, when you discover that He sent His Son for you to die on Calvary's Hill, when you get that, you can proclaim 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, now to the King, eternal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. When you can claim that, it's only because you've been able to enter into a relationship with Jesus. You can't claim that unless you know Him personally as Lord and Savior. You can't live out loud for Jesus unless you've experienced the salvation that He offers through the blood of His Son, Jesus. And listen to this. His blood is special. But then on the third day, He was raised from death to life. No longer is He dead, but today He sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven interceding for you and for me. Why does He do that? So that when God the Father looks at you, He doesn't see a mess. He sees the shed covering of the blood of Jesus Christ and His righteousness. That's what God sees through the blood of Jesus. God sees salvation when He looks at you. And so today I want to know, you've gathered here, Are you an individual who knows Jesus as Lord and Savior? Let me ask you this. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, can I get a loud, unapologetic, unashamed amen? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Amen. Amen. Listen, you got to be able to claim that. And let me share this. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never entered into that relationship. I don't want you to jump up and I don't want you to shout. I just want you to think just for a moment. You've heard all those cheers. You've heard the applause of those who say, I'm a believer that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I've confessed my sins. I've asked Him to be my Lord and Savior. I've received His Son as forgiveness of the penalty, paying for the penalty of my sin. And maybe you've never confessed that today. Maybe God is dealing with you. Maybe He's drawing you. Maybe you understand the importance of that badge of honor. You're not ashamed. You want the world to know. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe God is dealing with you about your relationship with Him. And so the goal is this today, with the word being shared, with the seed being planted, that it would begin to grow as it's watered, that fruit would begin to be produced. That today, though, has to be that first step where you can say, I'm lost. If I were to die today, I wouldn't go to heaven. But I want to share with you a way that you can know that you're going to heaven. And that's that if you humble your heart, you confess your sins before an almighty God. You say, Lord, I know there's nothing good in me. I know that I can't get to heaven on my own. I ask that you forgive me of my sin. You ask God to forgive you of your sin. You mean it with your heart. We're going to have a baptism in just a few minutes. Miss Claire Summers, and she has said this. And so many of you have done the same thing. And Miss Susan shared, she did this as a 7-year-old little girl, the same thing. She confessed her sins. It's what we have to do as an 8-year-old young boy. I confess my sin. I said, Lord, I know there's nothing good in me. So would you forgive me of my sin? Would you come into my heart? Would you be my Lord and Savior? And at that moment, I believe that I confessed my sin. I invited Jesus to be ruler of my life. I believe He came in and He lives. Today, I believe that. I don't believe that He'll ever leave me nor forsake me. I believe that God is real and He's alive and well. And the reason I know that is because I was there when He saved me. And today, if God is speaking to you about salvation, would you confess your sin and would you say, Lord, I confess it and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I know that You sent Jesus to die on the cross, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And Lord, I believe that he did more than die on a cross. I believe on the third day, you raised him from the dead. That today that he sits at the right hand of you interceding for me. Today, would you confess that so that you can know that Jesus loves you?